Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. So I have a confession, though, before we start. I know we already went through confession and pardon, but I'm just going to loop back to confession because I have one. I may have a problem. It takes away from my family. It's expensive. Sometimes it feels like it racks up debt. My wife says it may feel like I'm cheating on her like it's the other woman in our marriage. I have a problem because I am addicted to grad school programs. I am addicted to grad school programs. By my transcripts, I have spent literally thousands of hours of my life in grad school classes. It's a problem. Now, some of you in this room, some of you online, were smarter than me. Grad school, I think, is about knowledge. It's not always about street smart. Sometimes it can be. But some of you came out of high school and you had this trick. You sort of sized up life and you're like, yeah, I'm not going to go that route. Instead, you paid a decent amount for some training, or somebody hired you and they trained you for free. And then you started making money right away. Some of you maybe even started saving up money. You bought your own car. You paid your own rent. You may have started working toward retirement. I know some people who are younger than me who are already drawing a pension. But I deferred all that breadwinning, and I actually paid them. I paid them a lot of money. And some of you are laughing because if you've been on this path, you know how it feels. You pay them, and you're not making money. You're not earning, you're paying them. And now, again, now sometimes it pays off. If you're a person who's in a program, you're going to get out and you're going to be able to make a wage or a salary that's going to help you pay off loans or whatever you did to get through grad school. If you're going to get on your feet quickly, that's great. Now, when I was in college, I had an epiphany. By the end of my sophomore year, I decided, I'm going to be a religion major. Sophomore year. Now, at the end of the senior year, I've declared my major in religion. Didn't have to do that to be a minister, by the way. That had nothing to do with whether or not you go to seminary. But I did it because I'm passionate about God. I'm passionate about the field, passionate about study. At the end of the senior year, the big consulting firms, the international ones, came to campus. They're looking for young recruits. And, of course, the business majors were invited to these sessions and these interviews. But it was a liberal arts college. The English majors were invited to these sessions. The history majors, the Spanish majors, the French majors, they were all invited to the interviews. Guess who was not invited to the interviews to get a good, well-paying job right out of college? The religion majors. I think I was also joined by the philosophy majors, but I think we were like the only two majors on campus that were not invited. Well, so I graduated, I had two obvious career paths, and both of them required more school. I could be a professor and teach religion, or I could go into seminary and get a 3-year degree. And of course, that was my passion and call, so I did that. And I'm glad I did. Later in life, I went into a different program with a different call, and that turned into a healthcare license, and that is practical, so that's all good. But that was even a longer program, so I sat through thousands of hours of class. And I know that sounds like purgatory for many people. I did, thankfully, like a lot of it. But I was reflecting this week, what did I learn in those programs? What did I learn all that classroom time? Could I say that much about it? And in certain areas, yes. But there were certain areas where probably some wasted hours of life, but that's the way it works. It's like you start the program, you have to do what they say, and eventually you get a piece of paper, and hopefully you graduate with some good stuff. And I did. I'm glad for that. But I couldn't say in certain areas where I actually spent a lot of time studying, I couldn't probably say a lot. Some of us lately are playing with a program online called ChatGPT, which is artificial intelligence. You ask it about questions, something that it has learned, and you may get a very detailed dissertation back. I can't necessarily give that much detail about some of the things that I learned. That said, if you are a mechanic or an electrician or a plumber or a police person, you learn very quickly what matters and what doesn't. Because if you're an electrician and you don't learn what happens, you could get shocked. If you're a plumber and you don't learn what's practical very quickly, you could be flooding a customer's home, right? If you're a policeman and you don't know the rules, you could get in trouble. You could hurt somebody or you could be hurt. So there are certain areas in life where it's very important to bottom line what really matters. Some of us have gone through courses of study where that can be more difficult because things are more abstract and kind of out there. And yet, it's very important sometimes to bottom line it and say, this is what is important. And I think that is true of faith. We can get very caught up inside conversations, whether it's this denominational conversation or this debate in the denomination or this niche of Presbyterian theology. We can get very distracted. And I think that was true of Jewish theology in Jesus' day. They had several sects of people who had studied, but I think got a little bit lost in the point of what they were studying. Now, in Jesus' day, we oftentimes meet the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees were more of the temple tradition. The Pharisees were a group that studied the law of Moses in depth. And so they were very legalistic, meaning they wanted, you know, everybody to know and obey the laws about the laws, the rules about the rules. And they actually were very different. The Sadducees did not believe in an afterlife. The Pharisees did. In our scripture reading for today, they are playing a game with Jesus called, let's try to stump the young rabbi from Nazareth, from that nowhere place, who, by the way, is making us look bad because people are interested in what he has to say and not so much what we have to say. So let's try to stump him in public and maybe we can humiliate him. So the Sadducees have just lost a round with Jesus in the passage that we're coming to today. And now the Pharisees think it's their turn. So one of them, who is an expert in the ancient Jewish law codes, asked Jesus a question. And this is Matthew 22:34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, well, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked a question to test him. Teacher, Rabbi Jesus, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, apparently, this question might have been something of a popular way to challenge somebody else in public debate. There were hundreds of commands. I saw one count, 613, in the ancient Jewish law code. And so I think this is a bear trap. I mean, the idea is you get someone to choose one, and then you hit them with the other. Well, I think murdering's not, you know, like, that's pretty important. That might be my top. Oh, so murdering's the top, but it's okay to worship idols, right? So I think that's the trap here. But Jesus' answer is very brilliant. The first half of his answer comes from the great Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second part of his answer about love of neighbor comes from Leviticus chapter 19, where it says you'll love your neighbor as yourself. So what's brilliant about his answer is it actually covers all 10 commandments, because some of the commandments are about love of God and honoring God, and some of the commandments are about loving others, and the 10 commandments are the summation of all the other law codes. So it's a brilliant answer. And then he says, look, everything hinges on this. I know you've studied, and you Pharisees got your, you know, you're off on your bunny trail, and you Sadducees are off on your bunny trail, but that said, all the law and the prophets, all the other Jewish codes hinge on this. It's like the hinge of a door. If you don't have it, the door is going to fall off. So what's ironic about this is he catches the religious leaders a little oblivious. You know, like when I would go off on a field of study where I just get a little bit too lost in my own thoughts, they, in a way, have proven that that's where they are, and he brings them back to what is important. And that's really key in faith. An author named Todd Gitlin tells a story about a customs officer. This customs officer observes a truck pulling up at the border, and he's suspicious. This guy looks suspicious. So he orders the driver out. He searches the vehicle. He's like, I know there's something that's not supposed to be in here. Pulls off the panels of the truck, the bumpers, the wheel cases. He finds not a single scrap of contraband. He has to put it all back together. He's suspicious, but he has to wave the driver through, and he does. The next week, same guy arrives. Again, searches the whole thing, starts tearing things apart, can't find any contraband, nothing illegal. And over the years, this continues. This customs official tries with the same driver, searches, x-rays, sonar, anything that he can come up with. And each week the guy drives up, there's nothing mysterious. They're different trucks, but each one, it turns out to be clean. So after many years, they've both retired, they bump into each other in town. Statute of limitations has already taken place, okay? The former customs officer says, I know you were a smuggler. I know you were a smuggler. Don't bother denying it, but darn if I can figure out what you were smuggling all those years. But now that we're both retired, statute of limitations taken place, will you please tell me what you were smuggling all those years? And the driver said, oh, that's easy. I was smuggling trucks. It's easy to get lost in analysis and over-focus and wade knee-deep into details and trends and controversies and authors and forget about what is ultimately important in faith. Love of God, love of others. A medieval mother of the church, Julian of Norwich, wrote, God loves us and delights in us, and he so wishes us to love him and delight in him and greatly trust in God. That is the faith relationship with God. God reaches out to us in love. Our response is love. Yes, there are rules and parameters and boundaries. Those are all very important. But the minutiae of them probably is not, if the cost of following the minutiae about the rules of the rules is that we lose our focus on the love of God. That's what it's about. And the love of others, how do you experience that? How do you express that? There are so many ways to do it. A Washington Post article from 2020 tells this story. When emergency responders found Harold Storley in front of his house with a broken hip, they did their best to take care of him. As it turned out, that care including attended to the task that injured Harold Storley, which was tending to his lawn. According to the grandson in the story, the lawn was his pride and joy of the house. And so he was working on it, he fell, he broke his hip. So when the trio of EMTs finished responding to the other emergencies of the day, they contacted their supervisor and asked for an additional hour or so to finish the job on site that Storley had been unable to finish. One of the EMTs said, there was no hesitation from anybody. We talked to the lieutenant, the captain. They were 100% behind us. We knew he'd be down for a while with a broken hip, so we figured the least we could do is go back and help out. And we've done these things before. We look at our area as a community and that we're a family. I've seen people with broken porches. I've repaired a couple of boards. If we see someone in need, we can go help and buy them groceries. And actually, the department will help refund some of that money. We can recover some of it. That's amazing, and that's done in secular government. What about the Church of Jesus Christ? What can we do, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be out there loving and caring for other people? Love of God, love of others. That's not everything Jesus talked about, but it is the summary. It is the summary, the bottom line, the takeaway. So what about you this week? Where will your focus be? It's easy to get busy in our routines. Oh, I got to go to work. Oh, this is overdue. Oh, my gosh, this project that didn't get done this week. Now it's Monday. I have to think about it again. Or, oh, my kids have this going on this week. And, oh, they forgot to do their homework, and it's 10 o'clock on Sunday night, et cetera. It's very easy to get distracted during the week. And what if love of God was a central focus in your life this week? What if love of others was a central focus in your life this week? Might it bring you out of that sort of haze of activity and that mirage, that deluge of activity that swirls around us all the time and ground you and ground us in what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to close this morning in a time of quiet and dedication. If you're not rooted in that conversation right now because you're distracted or busy or worried or something else is going on in your life, just take a moment during this time of quiet. Root down into what it means to know God, which is to love God and to love others. Let's pray. Almighty God, be with us in the next few moments as we think about all the ways we get distracted, all the hours we spend in life doing, pursuing, learning, that they may be good pursuits, but we may get a little lost in them too. Not that they're bad bunny trails, just that we might forget about what's the most important. What's the summary? What's the takeaway? And what if we could wake up in the morning and say a few words to you and our love for you, and think about those that we care about and love. Maybe some near us, we could say words of love to them, but also we could reach out to those that don't know your love and demonstrate your love in deeds that we do. Hear us now in this moment of dedication as we dedicate ourselves to loving you and loving others this week. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.